Well, Fred, I am so glad that you're here. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Market Friends right here on Great News Radio on this Thursday, October the 16th, 2014. It's so good to be spending some time with you. You know, I say this almost every Thursday. I always look forward to just our time together each and every Thursday. And I'll tell you what, this past weekend on Saturday, it was kind of a lazy day, I guess. I hate to say that, but, you know, our lives are so hectic during the week and even on Sundays, too, at churches. We're pretty active in the church and, you know, Saturdays are just so nice to sit down, lounge around, watch TV and do nothing. Praise the Lord. So Saturday, I promised myself, hey, I got to mow the lawn. Let me just mow the lawn today. And, you know, I said, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. And then, of course, Sunday started like a 4 or 5 day stretch of rain. So the grass has not been cut since a couple of weeks now. So I'm not sure how the weather's going to be like today. Maybe I'll take advantage of some sunshine, hopefully today. Hey, quick note coming up this Saturday, the Living Word Omega Message Church in Mahomet is continuing their series on Haiti outreach fundraising efforts this weekend with a church-wide garage sale. Going to be held this Saturday, the 18th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that includes a variety of items from clothing, housewares, and the list can kind of go on and on. And proceeds from the sale this weekend will go to the Mission of Effort Vision. A Living Word Omega Message Church is located at 1202 Lombard Street in Mahomet. They meet every Sunday, 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30. If you want to get more details, just call 217-586-6553. And also coming up on Saturday, the Champaign County National Day of Prayer Gathering will be taking place at the Denny's Restaurant on Westtown Boulevard in Champaign at 9 a.m. this Saturday at the Denny's. Enjoy breakfast and a morning of prayer with other brothers and sisters. If you want to get more details on that, 217-480-6671. And by the way, you can take a look at the entire list of the events coming up here in the next several days, weeks, and months at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Well, I'll tell you what, this week is kind of a pretty big milestone for Johnny Erickson Tada. Now, if you're not too familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada, she was the young lady who was, as a teenager, dove into the Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the shallowness of the water, and she suffered a fracture between her fourth and fifth vertebrae and became a quadriplegic. And she's paralyzed from the shoulders down. And she started this ministry called Johnny and Friends, which reaches out to people and folks with disabilities. She is just an incredible encouragement to those who suffer with depression, those who suffer with physical disabilities. Boy, she is such an encouragement. Well, this week, she celebrates her 65th birthday. And yesterday, I think, was her birthday. Turned 65 yesterday. So coming up here in just a couple of moments, right after the song that we're about to play, we're going to hear an incredible testimony from Johnny Erickson Tada. It's her story, how she came to the Lord, and what happened on that terrible, terrible day when she became a quadriplegic, and how God has used that in her life. Get ready for an incredible testimony to blow you away for sure. Testimony from Johnny Erickson Tada coming up next, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and my
Fedke Singers here on this Thursday, and there's Power in the Blood medley. Well, yesterday marked Johnny Erickson Tata's 65th birthday. Well, here's a wonderful testimony that she gave that was produced by Johnny and friends. Here's Johnny Erickson Tata sharing her story.
I grew up in a very athletic family, tennis, horseback riding. My earliest memories of hearing about the God of the Bible, though, was around the campfire on the beach on the Delaware shore with my sisters, my mom and dad, hearing stories of Noah, David, Moses, Daniel. But God really wasn't very personal. All that changed, though, when I was a 14-year-old kid, went away on a kind of a church weekend retreat. And I was challenged by the speaker. He said, "Kids, I want you to measure your lives up against the Ten Commandments." Well, I had never committed adultery, or I don't think I stole anything in a big way, but you know what? It didn't matter. As I measured my life up against those commandments one by one by one, oh, I got this overwhelming sense that I'm missing the mark. I'm not going to make it. Oh, God, help me. It troubled me at first that God gave us a bunch of commandments that he knew very well we couldn't keep. But then it hit me at that weekend retreat. It hit me. That's why Jesus came. He was the one who kept the commandments. He was the one who obeyed the law, even though I didn't and even though I couldn't. I was only 14, but I was able to reach out right then and embrace Jesus and say, I need you. I want to make it out of earth alive, and you're my only passport, so please. Well, I came home from that weekend retreat all fired up, all pumped, all excited. But then through high school, the enthusiasm of what I had done began to wane, especially when I started confusing the abundant Christian life with the great American dream. My prayers were so self-centered, like, God, help me to lose weight. God, I need a new boyfriend. God, give me good grades on this test. Unfortunately, I guess I thought I had done God a great big favor by accepting Jesus as my Savior. And I remember right around my senior year of high school, I prayed, "Lord, I'm not doing this Christian thing right, and I know it. I don't want to go off to college and defame your good name, smear your reputation. I know it's about far more than just me, so do something in my life to jerk it right side up, because I'm really living this life wrong." Just a few weeks after high school graduation, as I was preparing to head off to college, my sister Kathy invited me to go to the beach for a swim. I swam out to this raft, athlete that I was, I didn't even touch bottom, hoisted myself up onto it, and then took this really stupid dive into what ended up being extremely shallow water. I snapped my head back when I hit bottom, and it crunched my fourth cervical vertebrae, severing my spinal cord. There I was lying face down in the water, desperately hoping that my sister Kathy would please notice that I had not surfaced from my dive. Unbeknownst to me, her back was turned to me. She didn't even see me take that dive. But a crab bit her toe, and it so startled her that she quick turned around in the water to scream to me, "Johnny, watch out for crabs." And when she did, she saw my blonde hair floating on the surface. I was face down, ready to drown. She came swimming quickly, pulled me up out of the water, and I never was so grateful for fresh air. She saved me. But for what purpose? For what reason? Because now, lying there in a hospital, doctors told me I was going to have to sit down for the rest of my life as a quadriplegic without use of my legs or even my hands. My hands don't work. And I remember thinking, "God, is this your idea of an answer to a prayer to be drawn closer to you? If it is, you're never going to be trusted with another one of my prayers again. I mean, I'm a new Christian. How could you have taken me so seriously?" I sank into deep depression. I remember there were wonderful Christian friends who came to the hospital, and they encouraged me. And one Bible verse they shared was from Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11, where God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, but to help you, plans to prosper you and to give you a hopeful future." God, you mean you plan not to harm me, Well, what do you call quadriplegia, huh? What's that all about? As I read that verse and the context around it, I realized something. That when God said that, he was saying it to his children who were being dragged away into captivity by the Babylonians. They were going to exile. They were going into slavery. They had decades in front of them of hard, awful suffering. And I began to see that God's plans for a hopeful future for me was not necessarily jumping up, dancing, kicking, doing aerobics, running, walking, getting back use of my arms and my legs. No. God's plans for me go far deeper. A deeper healing. A precious healing of the soul. Because as I was pushed into the arms of God every morning, and that's the truth, even to this day, don't be thinking I'm an expert at quadriplegia, but as it was then in the hospital and as it is today, every morning I wake up saying, Jesus, I can't do this thing called life. Please help me. Please show up. Give me your smile. Give me your strength because I can't make it through the day. And because I go to God with that earnest dependency and requirement of his grace every single day, I take that back. No, every single moment, I experience the sweetest, most precious, most intimate union with Jesus Christ. So in Jeremiah 29, when God says he won't harm us, doesn't mean the body, doesn't mean our circumstances. He's not going to do anything to harm our soul. Yes, our body may get harmed, but it will somehow serve to enrich our soul. In closing, let me just say that quadriplegia, 46 years of it, that's a long time. I deal with chronic pain. I had breast cancer a couple of years ago, and I remember as my husband was driving me home in the van from chemotherapy one day, we were talking about how suffering is like little splashovers of hell, kind of like waking us up out of our spiritual slumber. And then we pulled in the driveway and he said, well, then what do you think splashovers of heaven are? Are they those easy, breezy, bright times where everything's going your way, where you have health? And we said, no. Splashovers of heaven are finding Jesus in your splashover of hell. And to find Jesus in your hell is ecstasy beyond compare. And I wouldn't trade it for any amount of walking in this world.
I'm alone, yet not alone. God's the light that will guide me home. With his love and tenderness leading through the wilderness, and wherever I may roam, I'm alone, yet not alone.
Forsaken when
it just makes you tear up a little bit, don't it? I love it. That's Johnny Erickson Tada singing Alone Yet Not Alone. And before that was just her story on just how she became, how she came to the Lord, what happened on that horrific day, but how God has used that. You know what? That's the neat thing, friend. No matter what happens in our life, if you are a child of God, when we break into a million pieces, no matter what happens, praise the Lord, we have somebody greater than anybody who has the final say in our life, and our God can pick each and every piece up, restore us, and put us back together again. Hold on to that today, friend. Hold on to that. Whew. Well, it's been a great program today. It really has. Oh, yes. Hey, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. tomorrow morning. But friend, being a listener-supported radio ministry, we do depend on your prayers and your financial support as well. So would you prayerfully consider sending in a gift of support for the month of October? We would greatly appreciate that. Our mailing address is Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois 61843. Again, that's Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois 61843. You can also give online at our website safely and securely, greatnewsradio.org. Well, friend, thank you so much for letting me hang out, tag along, and spend some time with you today. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.